can you turn on your camera? Or are you not using your camera?
I can.
Hi.
Oh, we're so happy to see you. Yay. Sorry about this.
That's okay. I was sitting there and I was waiting, and then I was like, wait, what time is it there? And I Googled it and I was wrong.
We had a really intense,
in-depth conversation about balls.
A sponsorship that reached out to us. They might have reached out to you as well. And I can't remember what it's
like
called.
Smooth My Balls.
Yeah. Which we thought it was really interesting that they even sent it to us.
Yeah.
It was a pretty profound conversation that we had.
I would hope that men doing podcasts do like period underwear and stuff like that.
You know? Fantastic.
The vaginal cup.
Yeah. I know.
Dude, I would love to hear what a guy would have to say about
it. Yeah, the other thing too is that I don't think they'd want me trying to sell their smooth ball.
No, we literally made fun of balls for like 2 minutes. I was like, let's see if they like this sample.
Right. And the reality is, it's like there's nothing you could really do to those things to make them look good.
They're terrible.
Like, even if you like dip them in gold or something, they would not be attractive.
Or chocolate. Right. No.
Nobody wants any part of that. Nobody.
I felt that.
So sorry.
I felt that. Daisy Egan.
Hi.
Tony Award winner, writer, now podcaster from the Strange and Unexplained podcast. Thank you so much. We've been hitting you up since week one, since you got started, right?
Yeah, absolutely. At first I was like, I don't know enough haunted stories yet, which is why I was like hesitant, but I know, you know, I know a little bit. And also I love your podcast. So.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, as I think Rebecca and I both, it's clear through us, you don't have to really know anything to start a podcast, because we didn't know. We just knew we liked ghost stories. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's literally the only reason why we do this, is because we like ghost stories.
Yeah. And then we got started and we had these moments where we'd be talking about something. We'd be like, oh my God, have you seen orbs?
Yeah.
They'd be like picking up orbs on people's Ring doorbells. And then you realize like, oh shit, people have been talking about this forever now.
Yeah.
What made you start this podcast?
Well, it was actually Patrick Hines' idea. Patrick and I have been friends for 10 years, I guess. And I kept bugging him, like, I want to do a podcast about this. I want to do a podcast about that. And he'd be like, no, those are all bad ideas.
I love that honesty.
Yeah.
And then like summer of last year, he was like, hey, I have a podcast idea. And he pitched it. He was like, you would tell just weird stories about UFOs and Bigfoot and ghosts. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Like, I wouldn't be the first person I would pick to do something like that, because I am so skeptical. And so it sort of morphed into like, here's the story and here's why I think it's nonsense or not. And what I am learning is that, as skeptical as I am about things, basically whenever I really do research, I'm like, wait, maybe this is real.
It seems to open more questions than answers when you really start kind of digging into it. Your approach is really cool though, because I love how your podcasts, they're kind of like ours. They're pretty tight. They're concise. And there are some podcasts that I'll listen to. It's like, oh, so they spent 4 hours on something, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes I'm in the mood for that, but like sometimes I just need somebody to tell me a story so I can forget that I'm exercising.
Right. That's exactly it. Of course. Yeah. I will tell you, with The Watcher, I need an answer.
Yes.
You know, it's crazy. And of course, people have emailed in to say what their theories are. A lot of people thought it was the family who the Broaddus is, but that doesn't make any sense. Well, because
you know what I think?
Oh, here we go.
I have a theory, because I think whoever bought it the second time around for like the low price of $950 million was setting this up from the beginning.
It was them. That's a brilliant idea. I'm going to pull that.
Wow. I hadn't even thought of that. That's a really good point. Like, that they got pissed that they were outbid. Yeah. Although again, the house wasn't even on the market. Like, they hadn't even advertised that it was for sale. I thought it was the family behind the house, because because that letter said, look behind you.
Right.
But apparently that family just moved out of their house. And then somebody else said, what if it's somebody actually living in the walls? And that hadn't occurred to me either.
Oh,
I know.
I like that one too.
And you should do an episode on people in walls, like all those times.
That's insane.
Or the weird little room in the closet that you don't know about.
Did you see that woman on Instagram was like, look at this weird, it's like cold right here in my apartment in New York.
Yes, in New York. Yes.
Oh my God. I sent that to Patrick right away. I was like, we're doing this. And he's like, is that really a story? And I was was like, are you kidding me?
Yes. A whole other room. And in New York, that's
a whole other apartment.
Well, yes. And that's just the beginning. In fact, on Facebook, there's a page called Things Found in Walls. And go check that out. Because, yeah, it's all, it's actually a lot. It's more wholesome than it sounds because it's like, you know, love letters from 100 years ago or what.
And which that's all sweet and wonderful.
Right.
But like we found something like that in our house in Brooklyn, which my parents just sold after 40 years. In the attic, they found a cigar box under one of the floorboards, and it had just like pictures and letters. I love that kind of thing. I love going to antique stores and going through the photographs. I opened a beautiful secretary desk at an antique store, and I found this journal from the 1940s. And the guy, he had like a whole stack of them that just came with the desk. You know, it's in this tiny, perfect cursive. And she would have spells.
Spells?
My journal from when I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when I was still a single girl, I took it to a gas station and threw it away in the dumpster in the gas station. Because I was like, one of these days I'm going to have kids and they will dig through my stuff and they're going to find this and read all the demented shit that I wrote for years and years. And
mine was mainly, I hate my mom.
Yeah.
No, mine was like in my 20s. It was good. There was some juicy stuff in there. And because I was also moving in with my husband, I'm like, I don't want him reading it either.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
I kept diaries from like age 12 to about 18. And those were just like the most angsty years. Like,
Of course.
My parents don't understand me.
Back to podcasts. Like what inspired you? What podcasts were you listening to that made you start?
You know, what's so funny. I will kick myself into eternity for this. In 2004, I got a brand new Dell. And that was back when they were like those towers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it came with a microphone. It was one of those like, you know, crappy plastic microphones and some sort of, I think, rudimentary software. And I remember thinking, what if I sat down once a week and just sort of like chatted about life into this microphone and like put it somewhere on the internet? Which means I invented the podcast in 2004.
You did.
Bravo. Yes.
Claim it, Daisy. It's yours.
But just with everything, as with most other things in my life, I didn't act on it. Or I was like, that seems complicated. I'll just play video games instead. I love storytelling. I love podcasts. I love that I can sit on the laundromat and listen. I love that I can be on the, you know, when I lived in New York, it was like all the time on the subway. I'd listen to my dad wrote a porno on the subway and just like laugh like a maniac. I would listen to a lot of true crime. I had to give that up during the pandemic just because I was already so freaked out and stressed out. And frankly, with my son home 24/7, I wasn't really listening to podcasts at all for a while, but I really loved You're Wrong About. Have you guys listened to that?
No.
It's a podcast with these two millennials who like go back and look at big moments in our sort of pop history, like Tanya Harding or the Exxon Valdez oil spill or like the Anita Hill hearings, and they'll sort of talk about like what we got wrong about it. Plus, you know, I've been an actor for 30 years and I'm a woman of a certain age now in Hollywood, and I don't want to have to worry about my weight anymore. And like, you know, I can be in my pajamas and I can be wearing an acne mask and I can do my podcast. It's terrific.
Yep.
And it was like the perfect job to start during the pandemic because I wasn't going anywhere anyway.
And people are listening too.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, we're seeing a slump right now because people are getting out of their houses.
Right. So up and everybody's like, bye podcast.
Yeah.
Bye.
I guess that when you started doing this podcast, you weren't necessarily into all the paranormal and stuff like that, but I'm guessing now you probably are more so. So what kind of like rabbit holes do you fall down?
Well, it's funny because I would consider myself agnostic about ghosts. Mm-hmm. I used to say, no, I don't believe in them at all. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, it's hard to deny. And what I'll try to do is like find any way to debunk it. It's weird though when whole families are having visions. And have you guys read Jenny Slate's book, Little Weirds?
No,
but I want to. So
I love
bad.
Her.
It's a great book. I loved it so much. But she talks about the house she grew up in Massachusetts, and that it was haunted, and that her parents still live there, and that the whole family was like, "Oh yeah, there's the ghost." Like it was just a matter of
fact,
daily life. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, anytime you talk to somebody who's like lived in that experience where it's repeated and very real, like Brittany Howard from the Alabama Shakes. Same thing, the house that she was living in when they were recording their first album,
right?
Or whatever they're called now.
Albums are still cool.
Right.
The young kids still like albums.
That's their first record
store, yeah.
Vinyl's making a comeback.
It is.
Same thing. Like repeated experiences, and it is. It's like, it's hard to look at them and be like, no, something else was happening with you.
And for that long period of a time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I grew up in this house in Brooklyn, and the house was like decrepit and falling down until my stepmother moved in like 96 and was like, I'm fixing this. But I feel like if any house should have been haunted, it should have been that one. My bedroom was directly under the attic. And so I feel like, you know, I never heard footsteps, and I'm bummed about it. But I also wonder if sometimes ghosts are like picky about who they haunt. You know, they're like, this one, it's going to be too much work.
Well, it does seem like in our experience, it happens more often to certain people.
For sure.
And it does seem like some people have that gene or whatever, it's in their DNA where they sense it, feel it, see it, whatever.
Yeah.
And other people just don't.
Yeah.
So I think it might be like being able to curl your tongue or something. Maybe it's just something that it's an ability or something.
That would make sense too. Cause I think my family was generally very pragmatic, like the generations, you know? Right. So
have you ever had any sort of paranormal experience? Maybe not ghosts, but anything else that was unexplained?
I mean, I have suffered from sleep paralysis, and I haven't had it in a long time. Knock wood.
Well, it's for you too.
It's so awful. In high school, I used to get to school really early so that I could go sleep in the library. Like, I don't know why I didn't.
Teenager things do.
Yeah, it really
stay asleep at home. But every time I did that, I would have these very uncomfortable, very visceral dreams, I think, that a classmate of mine, this guy, Jason, specifically this guy, would come in and be like, class is starting, and I couldn't open my eyes, and I'd be trying to like pry my eyes open with my fingers or like trying to move my arms. But that wasn't happening, because when I later said to him, like, you got me up for school, he'd be like, what are you talking about? And I wasn't in the library. It just felt very real. And then I've also, over the years with the sleep paralysis, have not directly seen something, but like felt that I was in serious, serious danger. Mm-hmm. And I can't move. I'm literally paralyzed. And I think the last time it happened, I somehow willed myself to yell out. Because the other thing with the sleep paralysis is I would try to yell and nothing would come out. I couldn't open my mouth. No sound would come out, whatever it is. I'm sure there's some scientific explanation.
We'll be right back.
Are you a fan of global travel? Are you wanting to see more of the world yourself? Well, then you're my kind of people. My name is DeAndre Koch, and I'm the host of the travel podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, where we share stories of everyday people making the most of global travel and also teach you how to do the same yourself. You'll hear stories from people just like you who learned how to travel for nearly free, like Jo, who realized she could take her daughter to Disneyland in Tokyo for cheaper than in the US, or Rob, who flew his entire family of seven to Europe round trip in business class, all for less than the price of economy. Check out the link in the description for the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast to learn how to elevate your own travels.
Yeah, there's something about, there's a chemical in your body when you're deeply asleep that your brain is secreting it. So it keeps you from being able to physically act out. So you're not acting out your dreams. Mm-hmm. But then there's another level to it that's really odd to me. And it's funny though, because like I've had that thing where I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to, you know,
yeah,
and
then
you're the person next to you is like, stop it. You sound horrible.
Yeah. But
we've had, of course, the shadow people.
Spiders.
That's a big one that we've had lately, that I've had that happen countless times.
Yeah.
And where you think you're awake, but you're not awake, and there's spiders on your bed, or they're on the ceiling and they're falling on you.
Oh God.
Yeah.
No, and that sounds awful.
But we mentioned it, and well, somebody wrote us an email about it, and she called them Twilight spiders. And I said that I've had the same thing. I mean, I want to say for 20 years now that I've had these things. And then all these people started writing in, men and women, saying, oh my gosh, I see the Twilight spiders too. Yeah. In fact, we were going to say, we want you to do an episode on
absolutely. My partner said that for a long time he would see a disembodied hand crawling up his
stories like that.
I love those. And he said one day he finally, like in the middle of the night, he saw it and he said something like, "I see you," or "It's okay," and the thing never came back.
Really?
Then he also has a great ghost story about camping in Joshua Tree in like the 90s. And he was by himself in his tent and he heard footsteps in the middle of the night coming toward his tent. He sat up and he was like, "Is somebody out there?" And the footsteps stopped. Mm. And then they started again and they got closer and closer. And he was completely naked. And he like throws his hiking boots on and grabs his knife.
I love it. And boots and a knife and naked. Wheeling things around.
Yeah.
His ungroomed balls just swimming in the wind. And
I was thinking that. I literally was thinking that.
Swinging his knife. And he said the footsteps were close enough that whoever it was, he would have been right there.
Yeah.
And nobody was there. And the next day, he's leaving Joshua Tree, stops at the gas station, and he sees a missing persons poster. Mm. And it was like missing in Joshua Tree National Park. And Kurt said to the guy, I think I might have heard that guy last night. I think he may be out there. And the guy was like, "Oh, I should take that sign down. He died a week ago." Oh. And apparently the guy had died like very close to where Kurt was camping.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Also, so, why don't camp?
So, yeah.
There's hotels
you're camp,
everywhere.
Go glamping, which is hotel.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
That, do yeah. Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Do those a yurt or something.
Yes. A yurt
is any safer.
Nobody needs to sleep on the ground because then you're naked. With a knife chasing a ghost in the woods. That's a great story.
I know.
So coming up on your podcast, you have anything exciting that you're covering?
I have Roanoke coming up, which I really can't wait for. Yes. And I had pitched it to Patrick and he was like, "Yeah, I guess so." And then I thought, oh, maybe it's been covered too much. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's like if you listen to True Crime Obsessed, Patrick's other show, you've seen the documentary. So you think like, why am I going to listen to somebody recap the documentary? But it's because you want to hear that person's take on it.
Right.
So I love the Roanoke episode. I'm so excited for that one. Oh, the Pride episode, the episode for Pride Month is really good. We're about to start working on some new ones like simulation theory. Yeah, and
that's blowing my mind.
No
kidding.
Yeah, I'm like all about simulation theory right now.
And what if ghosts are actually just like glitches
in the Matrix?
Can I tell you my theory?
Yeah,
I'm like all
she's
about.
I'm full blown in
because it was one of those
one thing.
What?
That, did you watch that documentary yet?
No, okay. not yet. There's one that what's it called?
I don't know. Glitch in the Matrix.
I think it's called Glitch in the Matrix. I just saw David Ferrier talking about. Yeah, so we need to watch that. I had this theory one day recently. I was like staring up at the sky and it was really blue, but I had really bad floaters in my eyes. Uh-huh. Like, isn't it weird that your brain just tells you that all of this stuff is there? Like, we're not really seeing any of this. Uh-huh. And it really is that is the Matrix. Like it's our brain, but mm-hmm. we're just assuming that our brain is actually showing us everything. Like, how do we know there's not all this other stuff that we just physically are not capable of seeing because we're attached to this thing? And maybe what death is when you're not attached to that anymore, then you're free. You can see all of it. So maybe,
and then my whole thing about ghosts and haunting, if that's true, if like we are detached from our 2D or whatever senses, why are you going to hang around your old stuff? Like, go.
Good point.
You know, like that makes me sad. The thought that like someone's like, "I now have unlimited consciousness in this enlightened state, but get away from my old armchair." You know what I mean? Like, that's depressing.
No, I know. It's like, now's the time to travel the world. And
yes. Go to Tahiti. Yeah. Go, you know.
Okay. Here's my theory. Some places just have so much energy that even though we can't actually see it or process mm-hmm. it, it's like our brain is trying to, like, it can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah.
So it gives us things that kind of make sense to us. Like, something that looks like a human or somebody that looks something that looks like a relative mm-hmm. or whatever. It just kind of tries to make sense of whatever this thing is. So then we work it into our own narrative. Then we're like, oh, well, it's probably just that old guy who used to live here, who's whatever.
Right.
Whereas actually just something that's completely unrelated that our brain's trying to make sense of. Yeah. So yes. That's,
I also think if it were actually anything like the movie, The Matrix, that we would have made better lives for ourselves.
I mean, that's
the queen somewhere.
Oh yeah.
All honesty.
That is the thing about that, is that I think like, this is what we chose. I mean, I think that way anyway, right, about humans. I'm like, man, we could have done anything and this is what we came up with. Like, what? Why do we hate ourselves?
Maybe this is better than we realize.
That's the scary part, because again, back to the actual movie, The Matrix or whatever, once they're in the real world, it's awful. Everybody has to wear burlap sacks and eat mush.
Yeah.
And I much prefer just any
foods.
Yeah.
But isn't that like the ultimate question? What would you sacrifice to be free?
One of the things that always throws my little theory out the window, though, is like UFOs. Are you going to do one on UFOs?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, so we were about to release UFOs, and then it was the second episode I wrote, and Patrick went back and listened to it, and he's like, no, we have to redo the whole second half of it. It just, we hadn't quite found our voice yet.
And there's so much good stuff happening now.
With all the government stuff.
Oh, I know.
They're releasing videos by the day now, and it's like, yeah.
Lester freaking Holt was talking about it on
I was like, yes! He's legit.
Yeah. That one scares me though. That's the one, because like anytime you listen to any of the really just wheels off UFO conspiracy stuff, and I always try to like allow room for all possibilities. If I'm allowing the possibility that none of it's real, I also have to allow for time traveling Bigfoot theories and that I'm being probed nightly, which is entirely possible.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do think you've been probed.
I have, basically, I have probing dreams. I haven't had them in a while. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. Like, they're so real. And in the dream, there's always a reason. I'm at the doctor.
But it's always probed by an alien.
But there's always that moment where you're like, no. And I have questions about those. I really have questions about those dreams.
That is interesting. I had a partner who had what he called sexomnia, which is where he would initiate sex with his partner in his sleep. And
has that.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
No, I've experienced that. Okay.
I'm just saying, maybe
I'd be like, hey babe.
Maybe your partner has sexomnia, and when you're having those probing dreams, it's actually just him.
Exactly, just happening. Dave. I feel like in the morning I would wake up and feel,
you would know.
Like it would hurt.
Okay.
Here's something, or you know.
Here's something I've been thinking about. I don't think we've ever talked about this.
We might need a therapist after this. But please keep going, because I don't like to stop a train wreck.
Have you ever had a sleep orgasm?
Oh, yes. Yes. I have.
Thank you. What? Thank you. Same here, where you wake up in the middle and you're like, thank you. I have not, you haven't had this?
That sounds amazing.
Okay. No. Yeah. And they seem
it's to pretty great.
It is, because it's like all...
It's a delightful surprise.
Yes, all the benefit without any of the work at all.
Oh my God, even better.
Yeah, actually, the very first time it happened to me, I was 14, and I was on Outward Bound in the Sierra Nevada mountain. Not Sierra Nevada, that's a beer. Anyway, in the mountains. And we were all sleeping in our sleeping bags, and I woke up... And my legs were straight up in the air in my sleeping bag. Like, I should say, I hadn't experienced real sex yet.
Right.
And it's not like
really good and surprising.
But it's not like my knees, it's not like my legs were bent. They were like straight up in the air. And I was so embarrassed, because I thought about the counselors looking over and being like, what is going on over there? Although I doubt, like, I think the last thing they would have suspected was that I was having.
That's true. Before. That's true. Yeah, it would have been. And Daisy, thank you so much for saying yes, because if you had said no and I had just put that shit out on the table, I would be horrified right now.
It's a thing. I mean, boys certainly have it. Interesting.
Some people do orgasm while they're giving birth.
Oh
yes, that's true.
That's the thing.
It makes sense, because your body's just like.
And then some people do it while working out.
Yeah,
I'm not joking. Yes,
that's
whole
true. Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be lovely to be that orgasmic? Where you're, it's like.
I remember when I was taking like a birthing class when I was pregnant, and we watched an orgasmic birth, and I was like, that would be terrific. I mean, that, you know,
he would do it. Sure. In that case, like, everybody would have a baby at that point.
Yeah. it was the opposite of orgasmic.
When does the orgasm part start?
So Daisy Egan, oh, Strange and Unexplained podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, you were so
thank
fun.
You.
Yeah, you're awesome.
You guys are great. I love your show so much.
Oh, thank you. You. Thank you. And we'd love to check in with you every now and then next season, whenever you have something cool you want to talk about.
Absolutely.
And if you ever need input on ghosts or anything, we got it. We got stories.
Yeah, send me your stories. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And when you start doing that Things Found, the Hidden Rooms podcast, you do that.
I can't wait. Yeah.
That's going to
be. Well, it gives me the chills.
Yeah.
It's creepy as hell.
Because we've had multiple stories like that where people have found the hidden rooms in their house and they turn it into a closet and then the door won't stay closed on its own. Yeah. That podcast needs to happen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daisy.
Thank you.
Sorry we were running late. I don't know
That's
what
okay. I don't know what happened.
Let's hope it's recorded. Yeah, it recorded. Okay.
I'm like, oh my God. We have to start over.
No, yeah. From the top, hairless balls.